to kick off the party with your favorite Disney superstars. Disney on Ice presents Rockin' Ever After, the hottest musical event that's part talent show, part fairy tale, and all fun. Featuring Merida from Disney Pixar's Brave, making her Ice debut. And see Ariel, Belle, and Rapunzel. They're smart, they're sassy, and they're shooting for the stars. Come rock out when Disney on Ice hits your town.
Great seats are still available. Playing now through Sunday at the Dunkin' Donuts Center. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com.
Hate traffic? Don't be a hater. Get a Garmin Nuvi with subscription-free HD digital traffic and avoid it with updates as often as every 30 seconds. Drive with Garmin, the most trusted name in GPS.
Today's Money Minute explains real estate investment trusts. Often referred to simply as a REIT, a real estate investment trust is a company which owns or manages income-producing commercial real estate properties. Much like mutual funds, REITs are sometimes grouped together based on risk factors and other criteria. By investing in REITs, you can have an ownership stake in the real estate market without actually owning a property. Here's how it works. Your investment helps the trust to buy, develop, and manage real estate. The trust makes money by renting, leasing, and selling properties. By law in the United States, a REIT must pay out at least 90% of its taxable net income as dividends to its shareholders. Therefore, a REIT has a potential to generate a consistent stream of income with relatively low risk. Talk to a local investment services professional to learn more about REIT options that can help diversify your portfolio and contribute to your income. Today's Money Minute has been brought to you by Bank 5, helping you bank smart.
Good afternoon, everybody, from the studios at WSAR. I'm John Turrio, and this is the Digital Insider. Well, LinkedIn has become the business-to-business communication site on social media with over 175 million members. It's also become a key way people find jobs.
Next, your insight to the new digital world.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the show. I'm John Turrio from Truventus Social Media, and my colleague Pam Viveros from Ultimate Marketing is off today on this nice fall afternoon, so we hope she's enjoying it. Our guest today is a woman named Brent Bernstein, who is an expert in writing LinkedIn profiles and making the most of that site, and she'll be joining us shortly. But we wanted to have her on because LinkedIn is currently announcing a whole slew of changes to their site. At Truventus, we just did a call about a week or so ago with some executives at LinkedIn talking about their new career page that they're going to be rolling out. It's going to be much more visual, much more interactive. You're going to be able to add video and so forth. And the reason they're doing that is because they understand that the visual element on social media has really taken over and is driving use of social media. We are sort of visually focused when we use sites like Facebook and even LinkedIn. And what they also know is that LinkedIn has become a key way recruiters and job seekers are finding each other and how companies are recruiting people. So they are introducing a whole new career page that's going to be rolling out this month. So if you manage your LinkedIn page for your company, you'll be seeing more on that. And in fact, I've posted information from our call with LinkedIn on the Digital Insider News Facebook page. So take a look at that this afternoon, and you can download the changes that LinkedIn are going to be making. But it's really become the leading recruiting tool on social media and the web. And I learned that about a year or two ago when I went to an event hosted by a previous guest, who you may remember, Lane Verals, who owns Keystone Associates in Boston, very big HR firm in the New England area, and she hosted a series of well-known high-level recruiters from across New England. And what fascinated me when I went to that event was you would hear those recruiters talk about how they recruit both professional positions and others, and I thought they were going to talk about their proprietary databases and all these different ways that they go about recruiting people. Turned out all of them were using LinkedIn, and what they were doing was going on LinkedIn, using the search function, finding people who fit that description, talk to them to see if they might be interested in the position they had available, and if not, could they recommend other people? And since that event, we've actually gotten a number of calls at Treventus from people looking for social media managers through LinkedIn, because they go on, they use the search function, which is incredibly important, and that's how they find folks to potentially recruit to their position. So our guest today is a woman named Brenda Bernstein. She is a LinkedIn trainer, and she's written a book called How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile and 18 Mistakes to Avoid. So we're going to probably not talk about all 18. We're going to talk about some of those mistakes. Brenda, it's a pleasure to have you with us this afternoon on the show. Can you hear me now, Brenda?
It's good to be here. I hope you can hear me all right.
I can hear you fine. It's great to have you. So as we were talking about just before you came on the air, LinkedIn is going through a pretty significant evolution. We're really seeing some changes get rolled out this fall. I was talking a little bit with our audience about the new career pages that are going to be launching very shortly, actually rolling out this month. They have rolled out their top stories of the day because they really want to make their site more sticky, and I understand those are doing pretty well. They have Q&A, which a lot of people may not know about, which we can talk about, and the groups have really become very important to them in terms of how people are using that site. I'm curious as to what your takeaway is first in terms of how you see people using LinkedIn and some of these changes that you're beginning to see as well.
Well, one of the big changes I've noticed recently is that LinkedIn is becoming much more mobile friendly. Every day it seems they're upgrading their mobile application. So I think they're really wanting us to be able to take LinkedIn on the go, even to the point where we can edit our profiles from our phones, which sounds pretty advanced to me, but also, you know, if there's posting to a group that we get an announcement of that on our phone, there's a lot more interactivity that LinkedIn is working to provide, I think, to kind of step it up and match the kind of interactivity that happens on Facebook and possibly Twitter. LinkedIn is getting that they've been a little bit behind on that aspect of social media, which is so important. So now there's little notifications that are starting to roll out over. I think they started a few days ago rolling out this notification feature where you'll actually get little pop-ups or a little box on or flag on your profile if you have a new anything they want to notify you of. And you probably noticed there's little numbers now, little red numbers coming up with, you have 3 unread messages. So all of these things are just increasing the amount of interactivity and real-time usefulness of LinkedIn in a way that it hasn't been before.
Well, and I think that makes a lot of sense too, Brenda, because as we know, the mobile piece in particular, we were doing some research for a client earlier this week, and just the numbers continue to be staggering in terms of, I think, 48% of access for Facebook, for example, is done through mobile, and we know people are continuing to use mobile more and more to access these types of sites, so it makes a lot of sense. Do you see that changing the profile piece at all? And I know that's been your core focus. And your business, in fact, is called the Essay Expert. And one of the things that you do as a core service for people is really help them make sense and make use of their profile. Do you see that mobile piece changing that a little bit as well?
The thing that came up when you asked me that was the specialties section is one of the main things that has changed recently about LinkedIn profiles themselves. There's a section that used to be its own section in its own right called specialties. And then all this kind of buzz started happening, oh, they're doing this new section called skills. So then the skills section came up, and everyone was saying, well, why do we have both of these sections? We have a specialty section and we have a skills section. Aren't they really the same thing? What are we supposed to do here? And I kept telling people, keep on completing both of those sections. The skills section, I think most people have caught wind of it by now, but you do want to add that section if you don't have it already. And what's happening is that LinkedIn is phasing out the specialty section. First, they put it as a subsection to the summary, but it still exists. Just a subsection, but it only exists if you have a profile that you created up until they really brought in the skills section in full force. So if you come to LinkedIn today and you didn't have a profile before and you go to fill out your profile, you're not going to have a specialty section at all. And if you had a profile before but you never completed your specialties section, you're never going to be able to have a specialty section. But the thing about that section is that it's rather static. You fill out your specialties, you put in your keywords there, and it's useful because people can then search on those keywords and possibly find you in an advanced search. But it's static. It sits there, and there's no interactivity about that. What's different about the skills section, which is now called skills and expertise, that section is much more interactive. So you fill out those skills, and I recommend to everyone that if you possibly can, you put in 50 skills. And it's very easy to find skills in the skills section, because if you type in a letter, it starts suggesting skills to you. So you can look for ones that you already know that you have, and you can also let the system suggest different skills to you that maybe weren't at the top of your head. Put in all 50 if you can. And then once you have your skills in there, you can see all kinds of things. You can see how the searches for those skills are trending. Are they trending up or down? If you click on one of those skills, you can get a list of other people who also have those skills. So this is a way that recruiters are starting to look for potential candidates by using the skills and expertise section.
I did not. Know any of that. That is really interesting. I did not realize that A, how interactive that section was, and B, that you could pull up what's trending, which is incredibly interesting.
Yes. And some people have asked me, well, isn't there a downside to this? Because, well, if I put a skill in my profile and they click on it, they're going to see all my competition. But, you know, what's your choice? It's like if you don't put it there, then you're not going to be found either. And if they're on one of your competitors' sites and they click the skill, they might find you. So I wouldn't worry too much about the competition aspect. Oh, maybe I shouldn't fill out that section because then they're going to end up finding my competitors. I've heard people concerned about that. So I wanted to touch on that.
And that brings us to the point that we often make when we do a training, not like your training, but when we do sort of strategy training, and that is to get folks to think about LinkedIn not only in terms of the profile as a resume, if you will, but to think of it in terms of a search engine, and which your point just really reinforces that, and that is the way recruiters or companies or whomever start when they go on a LinkedIn, where they start is they start typing in words in that search engine, and that's in that search bar, and that's how they start their look. So not only to your point do you need to have those skills there so you come up in that lottery, if you will, but you really, I would assume, really need to think about what are the skills and words that recruiters or companies would be looking for your type of position? What's the language they're going to be searching for?
Absolutely. Now, just to clarify, there are two ways that people can search for you now on LinkedIn. One is through the advanced search function, which is that box at the top right of the screen where you can just put in keywords. And most recruiters will put in about four of them if they're looking for a candidate to find who most closely matches those four search terms. Now, the skills and expertise section, is searched through an entirely different, it's like a different prong, of LinkedIn. Like, you don't find people with skills, at least right now, by searching in the advanced search. You actually have to do a search within the skills section. So it's a little bit of a different search. I just wanted to clarify that. So your skills section will not necessarily help you get found through the advanced search right now. Hopefully they'll integrate these. I'm hoping that they will. But right now they're separate searches.
I think that's a great point. One of the things that I realized, I was telling folks, our listeners, at the outset of the show before you came on, that I'd gone to an event in Boston that there were very sort of well-known HR leaders, particularly recruiters there. And what was very clear is they are LinkedIn ninjas. I mean, they know their way around. And they're using, to your point, they're using all these various ways to search people and find people. So, again, coming back to your point of needing to make sure your profile is complete, needing to make sure you're in those skills sections, and understanding how people are using it to search is really critical. And I think that's really what you're bringing out is really helpful to folks to understand that.
Yes. It's funny. I gave a presentation to a group of business owners, small business owners, in my hometown of Madison, Wisconsin. We had a big social media training, and I asked the room how many people in the room had a premium account with LinkedIn, like actually subscribed to a premium account. And in a room full of at least 100 people, one person raised her hand, and she was a recruiter. So you know that the recruiters are the ones who are the power users, who are absolutely leveraging every functionality that LinkedIn has. That was very telling. The other point I wanted to make about searches and keywords is that, yes, you do need to have keywords in some prominent places in your profile. This is very important. If you're looking, if you want to be found for a certain, for any kind of skill you have or a service that you offer, so whether you're a job seeker or a business owner, whatever it is you want to be found for, you need to have those keywords in, number one, your headline. So, I used to have in my headline, owner of the essay expert for writing that gets results, something like that. Now, if you look in that headline, you don't see any keywords in there. So now I have executive resume writer, LinkedIn profile expert trainer. I just packed it with keywords instead, college essay coach. Those are the kinds of keywords. So I want all of those in my headline, not just something that sounds nice. Now, if you have room to say something that sounds nice as well, that's good. But make sure that you have your keywords there. And then a lot of people have gotten that part. So then the next place that you really need to have your keywords is in your job titles, especially your current job title. So think about putting not just the name of your job, like program manager or project manager or associate. Those titles don't give you any leverage in terms of searches.
They could sort of be anything. They're too generic.
Too generic.
And that's not what people are searching. You're right.
Mm-hmm. So putting your keywords in your job titles, put them over and over again. So if you're a project manager in Asia, and you want to be found to do work in Asia, put Asia, Asia, Asia in every single one of your job titles.
Right. But, you do, to your point, you do have to make sure it is still within a readable context, because one is the computers are reading this for searches, but two, the recruiter or the HR person or someone at the end of the day is going to be reading that. I have seen people try to do the old trick that we used to do 1,000 years ago to show up on Google searches, whereas you just put the word 1,000 times in there, and it just makes you look terrible.
Let me clarify. I don't mean to put Asia, Asia, Asia 5 times in the same line.
Right, exactly.
Each one of your positions where you worked in Asia, you can put the word Asia in your title.
Right, and exactly.
Not only does it help you with your searches, but those are the parts of your profile that come out in bold. So
they stand out. Right.
That stands out. They can get just in a second, they can capture exactly what you did in each one of your positions. You can actually write a brief summary of the keywords, like the top things that you did in that position. You have 100 characters to work with in each one of your job titles.
We are talking with Brenda Bernstein. She is the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, and 18 Mistakes to Avoid. So we're going to take a quick break, Brenda. When we come back, I would like to hear about what the number one mistake is and also what makes for a truly killer profile. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with Brenda Bernstein.
Hi, it's John Paul.
And Nick.
When you want an expert assessment of your floor cover needs from every place from your formal living room to your kitchen to your garage, even your outdoor patio, you don't have to settle for talking to the part-time help at the local box store. You want an expert that'll walk in, look corner to corner, wall to wall. That's what we do at JV Shop at Home. And when you want full-time coverage of the Fall River area, loud and clear, from the people that know the lay of the land, listen to WSAR.com. Heck, Barry and the Afternoon Drive. So go to WSAR.com, hit listen live button. It's on the air, it's everywhere.
Local talk, local news, and local opinions. This is where Bristol County turns to get in the know. Your home for news and talk. 1480 WSAR and WSAR.com.
If you're over 50 and experience blurry or cloudy vision, if you feel like you're seeing the world through a dirty windshield, if you have trouble seeing at night, or if you've noticed that colors don't seem to be as bright as you remember, then you should be checked for cataracts. Each year, more than 2.5 million people in the United States are diagnosed with cataracts. The good news is that you don't have to live with cataracts. The doctors at Center for Sight have combined outpatient no-stitch, no-patch cataract surgery with advanced lens implant technology to give you clearer vision at any distance. Now you can see near, far, and anything in between without depending on your glasses or bifocals. To learn more about your options for clearer vision after cataract surgery, call Center for Sight, 1-508-730-2020. This simple call could change your world or at least the way you see it. Call Center for Sight today, 508-730-2020, to schedule your evaluation. Center for Sight, keeping your world in focus.
And now, back to the WSAR studios, it's the Digital Insider.
And good afternoon, everybody. We're talking about LinkedIn and how you can create a LinkedIn profile, how you can use it for yourself and for your company to be effective, to help you get a job, to help you recruit candidates, and so forth. So we're going to be coming back with our guest in a moment. But before we do that, I wanted to mention that next week in Worcester, Massachusetts, for our listeners in the greater area, I'll be hosting a live event on the latest trends on social media, including talking about the new LinkedIn career page and so forth. We're going to be looking at the opportunities and risks with social media, mobile, and other new developments related to social media and how you can use them for your business. So if you're interested in that, just go to treventus.com/events and you will see a video and everything you need to know to sign up. And it's free, by the way, thanks to the Worcester Area Chamber of Commerce, who is going to be sponsoring that event. So we hope you can join us. Should be lots of fun, and it's filling up fast, so we're looking forward to that. As we mentioned before the break, my guest today is Brenda Bernstein, who has a company called The Essay Expert, and she really started out combining her writing skills, career services skills, and so forth, and understood the change that we're all going through in terms of moving to social media, and began taking a look at that in detail and how people could make themselves most effective within LinkedIn, which is the number one business-to-business social media. And Brenda, I wanted to start off with your 18 mistakes to avoid, which is part of the title of your book and a good one. And I wanted to start off by asking you, what is really the number one mistake you see in people creating their profiles?
I would say the number one mistake is not taking it seriously. And that's not really one of the mistakes that I list in my book. But that's the number one, because if you just sit there, if you create a skeleton profile, throw something up on that, you know, on LinkedIn, and then you sit there and you don't learn about it and you don't interact with people, you're not going to get results from LinkedIn. Now, that's not all it takes. It's just to stick something up on there.
And I think that is such a great point, because even if you're not looking for a job, even if you're happy in your role and you're not looking to make a career change, what we have found, and we work with everybody from doctors to lawyers and so forth, and what we tell everybody is, look, what happens after someone thinks about contacting you or looks through your website or whatever is they go to LinkedIn to try to figure out who you are. And so even if you're in a job, maybe even in a big company, other people in your company are going to look at that LinkedIn profile. And so if it just to your point, if you don't represent yourself well there, you're not going to come across well just to start.
Exactly. I had a client with exactly that situation. He's a business coach. And he was talking to me about LinkedIn, and he said, you know, that's not really my priority right now. I have other methods that I'm using right now to network and meet people and gain clients. A couple weeks later, he called me. Brenda, you were right. I just met some people in person through my networking, and the first thing they did after they met me, they went in and looked at my LinkedIn profile. I need your help. So that is really how it works. People look at your LinkedIn profile. If people are searching on Google, LinkedIn has a very high search ranking on Google.
It does.
So that's what's going to come up first.
Right. And one thing I wanted to mention in about taking it seriously, too, is the whole photo piece. Because the photos now with the new profiles, the profiles have gone through a little bit of a redesign, and I'd love to hear you talk about that a little bit. But, you know, it's gotten a little better in terms of people using professional photos, and they should be a digital photo and so forth. But I am so tired of the wedding dresses, you know, people holding their cat, the beach photos, whatever it is. And that just does not, again, talk about being taken seriously. That just does not help you in a professional environment.
It doesn't. And just think about how you want to present yourself. I think you said it all there, John. How do you want people to be perceiving you online? You do need a photo. If you want someone to think of you as a real human being, you really need a photo. People, in their studies done with this, if they're looking at two profiles side by side, they're basically the same. One has a photo and one doesn't. People click on the one with the photo. And If you're looking at for a professional and one person has a very nice professional photo and the other person, I don't know about studies about this, but it seems intuitive to me. One person has a professional photo, the other one has, you know, they're holding their cat. Which one are you going to hire?
Right. You know, and there actually have been.
Unless you're looking for a cat sitter.
Right. That is true. You know, it's not Facebook. Let's keep that in mind. And it is different. But to your point, there was a study somewhere, and I wish I could cite it for our listeners. But basically what it said is in the first so many seconds of looking at a profile, people look at the picture and they start making a determination about the person there before they even read the data that's available in the profile.
Yeah, and a lot of people, if they don't see a picture, they won't look.
That's right.
They won't look any further. So people who are concerned about being discriminated against because there's something about them they don't think will come across well in a photo, well, you're probably going to get, you know, you're not going to be looked at if you don't have a photo. So you may as well have a photo. I don't think there's really a downside.
And it doesn't cost a whole lot. My co-host Pam and I recently did a whole series of photographs for the show, and you know, we're really surprised at, you know, what the local photographer was willing to do them for. So you can go to a good local photographer and get a nice shot that's well lit, you're dressed appropriately for business and so forth, and that's a great starting point, particularly if you're looking for a job, but even if you want to move up in your career and your company, you know, that's a great place to start.
Absolutely. The other thing that people often don't do because they're not taking LinkedIn, I think, in a way that will give them the greatest bang for your there's no bucks involved here for most people, but is just connecting with people on LinkedIn. If you're sitting on LinkedIn and you have maybe 100 connections, it's not going to get you very far. You're competing for attention with people who are very well connected and have upwards of 500, even 2,000 connections. And this is one of the trends that I see happening with LinkedIn, is that they're making it harder and harder for people to communicate with each other if they're not connected. You're not going to come up in searches if you're out of someone's network. Even if you're the perfect match, you're not going to come up in their searches. You're not going to have any of your posts distributed to very many people. You're not going to be able to even connect with anyone. You know, it's becoming harder and harder even to connect with people on LinkedIn. I think my opinion about this or guess about this is that LinkedIn is moving toward more of a subscription service and kind of strong-arming all of us into getting the subscription service so that we can talk to each other, making it harder and harder. But one way around that still is to connect with a lot of people. Now, if you're not concerned about being found on LinkedIn, you're not concerned about reaching out to particular people, and you have a very small community, then maybe you're happy just having 100-something connections. But if you're looking for a job or you want to connect with the best possible candidates who are a great match for your search, you want more people to be subscribing to your company page, you need to up your connections and be active in inviting people to connect on LinkedIn.
And what are some ways that we can do that? Is it reaching out to people that you might be in groups with? How can we build connections, particularly for introverts like me? You know, how do we go out there and build additional connections to help with that?
Groups are a great way to do that. The reason groups are so great is that you're allowed to connect with people in your groups just because you're in a group with them. Some people, if they have a particular person they want to connect with and they know that the person's in a particular group, they might join the group just so they can connect with the person. And then they can unsubscribe from the group. I've seen this happen.
Oh, that's interesting. I never thought about that. That's great.
That's why groups are such a great way to connect. The other reason they're a good way to connect is that you can get to know people in groups through the discussions that are happening in the group. So do, especially when you're looking to gain visibility on LinkedIn, do participate in groups. Ask questions, pose interesting discussions, respond when there's a conversation that's very active, especially respond, because if there's 100 people who already responded to that discussion, all those 100 people are pretty automatically subscribed to all the comments. So you make a comment and it goes out to all those people. So that's a great way to connect, and it just allows you, when you write a connection request, to have something to say other than, I'd like to add you to my professional network on LinkedIn, blah, blah, blah.
And by the way, you should always personalize that, not just use the standard offering from LinkedIn, but I think that you're right.
And if there's a discussion happening, then your personalization is just right at your fingertips. You know, oh, I loved your comment on da-da-da, or that was such a great question you asked, or I want to talk to you more about, you actually get to know people. And then the invitations are much more natural.
No, I think that's great. And one thing about groups, too, is for people who do a blog and maybe looking for a job or trying to show themselves as an expert in an area, so forth, if you do a blog – post on a topic and then go out to those groups to which, you know, it's relevant and promote that blog, it's a great way to get people to your blog page, your website, or whatever it is. We also, by the way, have found it very effective in promoting webinars for clients who are in the business-to-business space. That seems to work pretty well as well. So the groups can have, as you point out, some real value. But how do you go about identifying which groups make sense? Because I think you can join about 50. You know, how do you sort of figure out what's probably the best mix for you?
Well, one of the easiest ways to find groups is there's a button called Groups You May Like, and you can just click on that and see what LinkedIn suggests to you. They're usually pretty good. So that's one way. Whatever your industry is, you can type in some keywords, and you'll search groups, and then you can find whatever groups are in your industry. Think about when you're joining groups, not just the people who are like you, but the people who are looking for you. So if you're a business owner, you might want to connect with groups of clients. You know, which groups do you think your clients might be hanging out in? So if you're looking after a particular target demographic, see if there are groups that you can join that have that target demographic so you can start conversations there and get the attention of your potential clients. If you're a job seeker, then you might want to join groups where there are recruiters if you're allowed into that group. So always be thinking from both sides of the equation.
No, I think that's great. And for people who may be interested, you can actually look up the statistics on a group in terms of how many people and what level and so forth. And is that under the more I forget which button it's under, Brenda, but it's under, if you go to a group, you can, I think it's on the more button, you can get those kind of statistics.
I'm looking at, well, when you do a search, some of the statistics come up automatically when you first just search for a group. So I'm going over here to my search. An easy way to do that, next to the search box to the left, there's a little drop down, so you can just go on the drop-down and click on groups. So you're searching within groups. That's one way to do it. Or there's a main menu tab called groups. So if I search from groups, and what do you want me to search for, John?
Let's try, there's, I think, a Boston networking group. That's pretty good. That's pretty big in our region of the country.
So I'm searching Boston networking. And there's one called Boston Networking Club. The number of members comes up right away. Even before I even click on it, it says 14,442 members. That's a nice big group. Now, the other thing that you might want to consider is joining groups with different numbers of people. So it's great to have 14,000 members, but you can get lost among 14,000 members.
Right.
So you might also want to join one that just has a couple hundred, and maybe you are active there, and you end up getting some more quality attention. So if I click on Boston Networking Group, I already know how many members it has. It gives me when it was created, what type, again, the number of members, who the owner is, who the managers are. So all of that comes up just when I initially click on it.
It's absolutely amazing what you can do with some of those groups. And as you point out, once you're in that group, you can begin to sort of see who's in there and potentially connect with people there. And that's a good way to drive up your overall set of connections. When we come back, Brenda, I wanted to talk a little bit more on the profile and what makes for a very successful profile. And as we just identified, having the right groups and promoting yourself to groups is a piece of that. But I also noticed in one of your blog posts, and I want to make sure people know about your blog, you also note that you can add graphics to the profile. I don't think a lot of people know about that. So that's a little secret we're going to let you in on in just a moment when we come back.
That's someone enjoying a wonderful meal at McDonald's. That's someone enjoying a refreshing Coca-Cola for only a dollar. And that's the harmonious flavor of McDonald's and any size icy cold Coca-Cola soft drink or sweet tea for just a dollar. It's hard to describe it any other way. The simple joy of... card only. Prices and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Honey?
Yeah?
Be honest.
Okay.
Do you love me solely because of my devastating good looks?
Yes.
But what about my brain?
Eh?
How about now?
Wow.
A veritable feast all ordered off McDonald's dollar menu.
A beefy McDouble sandwich, fruit and yogurt parfait, a refreshing sweet tea.
All delicious and only a buck each.
I was so wrong, honey.
That's all right.
Now I do love you for your brain.
And my dimpled chin.
Eh?
McDonald's dollar menu. The simple joy of being smart. At participating McDonald's, a la carte only.
Everyone knows that if you aren't right, then you're wrong. Politics are the same way, so leave it to Tony Evans to be your right-hand man. For years, his beliefs have been heard on radios throughout the South Coast. Now all conservatives can have a voice and a champion in Tony Evans. If you want the straight facts about politics, sports, local and national headlines, Tony from the Right has you covered. Tony from the Right, challenging liberals every Saturday from 12 to 2, only on 1480 WSAR. You can see it tonight, read it tomorrow, or hear it now. We are where Bristol County turns for news and talk. 1480 WSAR and WSAR.com.
And we're back here on the Digital Insider. I'm John Terrio from Juventa Social Media, your host this afternoon. And before we get back to our discussion on LinkedIn, I wanted to let you know, in 2 weeks on the show, we're going to be having Sandy Carter, who is a well-known vice president at IBM. And she's going to be talking about the business of social business. And what that is, excuse me, is that corporations now are really beginning to use social media inside their organization to communicate across their organization and to communicate globally. Now, we saw a big movement in that direction recently when Microsoft purchased Yammer. Yammer is kind of like a Facebook that's been used inside a lot of corporations. They paid a lot of money for that. And the reason they did is they think that social media elements, like we see on Facebook and LinkedIn, as we've been talking about and so forth, are going to become very significant inside organizations. And in fact, it would not surprise us if you saw some of the elements of Yammer, as it were, imported into Microsoft Office and some of the and SharePoint and some of the other programs. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking with Sandy Carter about that and why IBM has moved in this direction and what they see as the future of social media from the corporate perspective. So that should be really interesting. As I was saying earlier this afternoon, we have been talking with Brenda Bernstein, who is the author of How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile and 18 Mistakes to Avoid. And by the way, her book is available on Amazon, and you can check her out. Her company is called The Essay Expert. And by the way, if you go to her site, she has an excellent blog that you can pick up additional information, and I will post a link to that on our Facebook page, Facebook/Digital Insider News. And taking a point from her book about the killer profile, I want to talk to you, Brenda, a little bit about what makes for good content in a profile. We've talked a little bit about keywords. We've talked about using the titles. I notice on your profile, if people like to look at it, it's Brenda Bernstein. Look it up on LinkedIn. You break out your summary in chunks so that it's very easy to read. So let's start there. Let's start with the summary and figure out how to write a great profile.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of breaking the summary into chunks, because we all know that the internet and everything that we do on it and computers are changing the way that people absorb information. And people don't like to read long blocks of information anymore. They like to have it easily laid out with a nice catchy headline and then some subheaders, some graphic interest. You've got to tell people where to focus, but they're not going to figure it out themselves at this point in the way that we all read and look at our computer screens. So what I like to do when I'm working with a client on the profile, first of all, you know, we gather information, of course. What are the most important things you want people to know about you? If you're a business owner, then you might want to have a combination in your summary, a little bit about who you are and maybe more about who your business is, because you want to sell whatever it is that your business is offering. And how do you distinguish between who you are and who the company is? One of my blog entries is about that, because you don't want to write about you and your business sort of all mixed up. You want people to be able to tell, well, who is this person, and then what is the business? So I like to have a little header at the top of the summary, even though there's a headline. People have forgotten about the headline by the time they get to the summary. I mean, that's how our brains work now. So you kind of need to tell them again who you are. And what I like to do is put some lines across the page or a big arrow. There are all kinds of choices of bullets that you can actually use in a LinkedIn profile. If you get my book, it has a section about how to put graphics into your profile. One way that, and I do have a blog, as John mentioned, just recently I wrote a blog entry about adding graphics to your LinkedIn profile. So take a look. You can take a look at my profile. You can take a look at some of the samples that I have on my website. And the easiest way to add graphics is to copy and paste other people's graphics. So you're welcome to steal mine and snazz up your profile just a little bit. But do use bullets. And if you're a job seeker or not, I recommend against just kind of copying your resume summary into your LinkedIn profile. You have 2,000 characters to work with in your LinkedIn summary. So use them. So your resume summary, it's not who you are. It's the introduction to your resume. And some people also need some help in making the resume summary a little bit better. I've seen some very doldrummy resume summaries with proven track record and results-oriented team player and all that stuff that everyone says and might not distinguish you. So if you have a summary like that, really take another look at what you want to be conveying to your audience. And if you need help with that, of course, my services are available to work with you to write that summary. But, you know, you can always start with just, you can look at other people who have a similar industry as yours, see what they're doing, look at some of the samples on my site, read through my ebook, and you'll get some ideas about how to really make that summary section effective.
Absolutely, and I think sort of looking around at other people's profiles, not only in terms of how they've set it up and spacing it out, because mine is similar to yours in terms of that, you know, I break out that summary section as well, but also how they use language. And I think your point about not just sticking your resume in there, because you can actually import your resume, but it, you really want to understand how people use the site, how people communicate on the site, and it needs to be sort of more friendly, not necessarily casual like Facebook might be, but just more readable than a resume is, because people are sort of looking at it as a, sort of in a more biographical way.
Exactly. It really is a bio that you want to put up there. But I'll tell you, when I'm working with clients, I tend to write about the same person in many different ways. And there's a particular way that I think works for LinkedIn, which is not the same for every single person. But I've had clients where I've written their resume, I've written their LinkedIn profile, and then I've written a bio for them to go out and be a speaker on a topic. And each one of those is different. And then maybe write a cover letter for a position, and then that one, again, it's just a whole a different way of putting together the same information. So don't be stuck to, oh, well, I've already written this and this sounds good. There might be another way that would just be more effective for this particular use and venue.
And I think that makes a point, too, which is a lot of us do our page, our profile on LinkedIn, and then we just sort of leave it. And that's not great either. And, you know, making sure you've updated it with your latest presentations, particularly if you have a presentation you can share through an app like SlideShare. We actually like using video a lot if it's available. It's a little more advanced, but that can work well as well on LinkedIn. But just going back and making sure it's updated with current terminology for your industry, if you've presented at a conference recently or things like that, making sure all that stuff is in there and fresh, I think is really important.
It's very important, and kind of brings me back to when you asked me what's the biggest mistake people make, and that's really, you know, not doing anything. So the suggestions that you're providing right now are just perfect and keep you active, and like you're a real person out there on LinkedIn, and people keep seeing you over and over again. And that activity, and that every time you change something, if you have your settings turned on that way, people are going to know that you changed something, and people will keep on seeing you over and over again. And after 40 times seeing you, they're going to know you're a real someone. You know, I've had people calling me after they just keep seeing my stuff over and over and over again, because I'm always revising and posting and putting events up there. And people, it could be a year that they're sort of watching me and hanging back, and then they call me and say, hey, you know, I think it's time for you to help me out with something. So do that. And I know we're probably wrapping up here, right?
We are, Bryn. But, you know, the last point I was going to make was just the offline piece, that once you've got a good LinkedIn profile, putting it on your business card, putting it on your email signature, because it is a way. So if you send an email to someone, for example, who may or may not know you very well, they can just click on that and sort of say, oh, I see. You know, we knew each other from our school, or we knew each other from previous job, or whatever it is. And it allows people to sort of get some context of who you are.
Taking it offline is absolutely if you take one thing away, is really do take it offline, not just by putting your URL on a business card or on your resume, but by talking to people for real, like person to person, have coffee. Yeah, you can meet them on LinkedIn, but you're going to develop your relationship most likely by phone, by in-person meetings. So that's really the best way to get the most out of LinkedIn.
Well, Brenda, this has been terrific. Thank you very much for being a very informative guest. We appreciate having you on. Brenda Bernstein is the owner of a business called The Essay Expert and a book called How to Write a Killer LinkedIn Profile, which is available on Amazon. And I will post a link to her materials on the Facebook page for Digital Insider News. That's it for our show. We look forward to having you on as our listener next week, and we'll be back. Thanks very much. We're going to go to Alan in News next.